Tonight we are going to continue our series in the Holy Spirit. We shared the last 2 weeks on Pentecost in the Old Testament, Pentecost in the New Testament, and now we begin tonight with the first part of the teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I know one of the reasons why Brother Herman called and was here and gave a testimony, because what you heard was an example of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating through our brother. And those things that he spoke of could not have occurred except as the gifts of the Holy Spirit were moving through him. And so I think that God wanted him here for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was to demonstrate, to hear God speaking through this brother and what God did and wants to do through you. Really does. He wants to do his work through you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to deal with this out of order, because verse 4 says, now there are varieties of gifts, and I want to come to that. I want to come to that in a moment, because most of the teaching tonight will be on gifts of the Holy Spirit and what the Lord has shown me. You can study the Bible your whole life, but until the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and the Holy Spirit begins to move, you will not be able to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't fully comprehend, you must understand that you don't have to fully comprehend it in an intellectual sense, because your mind will never, listen, your mind will never grasp my mind, I don't care how good a mind you have, your mind will never grasp the fullness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit brings the direct divine power of God the Father, God the Son, to flow through us. It's incredible. It's incredible that God enjoys us, as our brother was sharing. And so, we'll get to the gifts. Verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries. Just a few words about varieties of ministries. Because God pours out His Spirit, and when you are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He writes His law of love in your heart so that the character of Jesus can flow through you and His perfect love. Perfect love is His character. And love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control is all one in His perfect love, which He writes in your heart when you receive by faith the Holy Spirit of God. But you must seek gifts, and you must go to God to discover ministries, because there are varieties of ministries. Look at Ephesians 4, and then we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 12. So you can keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12, but let's look at Ephesians 4, because there is three verses. Ephesians 4, verse 11, and He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And by the way, He gives specialized ministries within those things, so that pastors or teachers can have specialized ministries that are public ministry gifts. Oral Roberts was given a gift as an evangelist, but He had a specialized ministry of healing within that. A public ministry of healing. There is a difference between operating in the gifts of the Spirit, as we will look at later, and a particular person that has a public ministry gift because God has given them. And if people who have public ministry gifts, then certain gifts of the Spirit will flow through them more than other people. Like Oral Roberts was called to have a healing ministry. Does that mean that we can't pray for the sick? No. God wants you who are saved and filled with the Spirit to pray for the sick. Led by the Spirit of God. You don't just run around and pray for people. You don't run into a hospital and try to pray for everyone. You wait until God shows you have to believe. And then you wait. And then God's power, and as our brother was sharing, sometimes you see God's power and you don't even expect it. Other times you have a word of knowledge or you have supernatural faith and you know what's going to happen. And other times you don't, and God does it anyway. And so there are no formulas, people. There are no formulas. And you have to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. And then verse 12, for the equipping. Why? Why did he give these ministries? For the equipping of the saints. And for the work of service to the building up the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, to bring the body of one together, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Now, one of the reasons that the power of God is limited is because the church is so divided. Because the body is so divided. See, cancers can cause one part of the body to fight another part of the body. And so the outward church, the organized church, is full of cancers. Because one part of the outward church is fighting the other, this part, this denomination against this, this faction here, this against this, this against this. And you have people in this town, over many years, we've seen some of the saints die of cancer. And I remember one, which I certainly wouldn't mention, and I won't mention all the circumstances, but I can say this, that a part of the body of Christ had the woman healed, a part of the body of Christ had her in the grave. And we confess that. And see, so when you have the body of Christ divided this way, I mean, you limit the power of God. So this, the purpose of ministries and gifts, both ministries and gifts, and the power, the spiritual effects too, all three of these things listed here, are to bring unity and harmony in the body so as not to limit the power of God. Because the more the body of Christ, the more the power of God moves through the body, the more this person doesn't know whether it's, we don't need to know whether it's my faith or someone else's faith, or we just need to know that God's power is released. And if we wouldn't care at all, we wouldn't have any pride. And God hates pride. And so God wants us to be proud of nothing but the cross of Christ. And if we were all proud of nothing but the cross of Christ, you'd have this unity. Until we all attain a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. To a mature man, the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now back to 1 Corinthians. And now chapter 12 and verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. See, when we're baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit baptizes us. Jesus is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit comes. We come into unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a new unity, a new empowerment. But we are baptized into the body of Christ. To all of the people who have been saved and baptized in the Spirit, there is a unity and a harmony, so that the laying on of hands is symbolic of both Jesus being the baptizer in the Spirit and the entire body and the unity of that body. See, before Jesus comes, there's going to be a total unity. And it'll only be with the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing that men do to organize will be able to get the unity in the body. There's going to be a unity only produced by the Holy Spirit of God. And I had a prophecy in China when I was there. And it had to do with a prayer network that God was going to establish all over China. Then that prayer network was going to spread so that the Holy Spirit would be speaking the same thing to people all around the world, preparing the body of Christ so that we can be totally united and the fullness of Christ's power be released. Because we haven't seen the fullness of Christ's power, but we will. And verse 28, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracle, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, when we get to the gifts, we'll talk more about this. But you have to understand that what he is speaking here, let's take tongues. Let's take the gift of tongues, which I probably will teach on more at another time because I don't think I'll get to it fully, but just to mention something of what this means. The gift of tongues is in two senses, because here the text, the Greek text, really indicates certain people get this gift, have a gift of tongues, some people don't, who are filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a public ministry gifting. This is a public ministry gifting. Because at another place in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. This is a prayer language. It is not a public ministry gifting. And so there are public ministry giftings where certain people who are filled with the Spirit, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, are used. And a public ministry gifting of tongues, or a public ministry gifting of healing, or a public ministry gifting of teaching. See, I believe God has given me a public ministry of gift of teaching. There are teachers, but there are certain ones who have given. In fact, the Lord just spoke that to me when I said that. I've never spoken that before. That's never come out of my mouth. that the Lord gave me a public ministry gift of teaching, but that's just what the Lord said, so it came out of my mouth. So you have to understand that God is interested in individuals and moving in gifts, but he's interested in the body and he's interested in public ministry to the body so that as many people can be one to Christ and then so there can be built up a unity through these various public ministry giftings. So all of these things, and by the way, there's a mixing here, as we will see later when we get into the gifts, because a teaching gift and an administration gift is different than a prophecy gift. And I'll show you this before we're through. God showed me this a number of years ago, that there's a different gifting in relation to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are lists. In fact, I think I counted one time 27 or 28 gifts, if you count all of them in the New Testament. But we'll get back to that. Now, so there are varieties of ministries. Now, there are varieties of spiritual effects. This is verse 6 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all places. Now, this is very important to understand. Effects are the release of the power of God through people who are gifted. But people, you know, we human beings like to wrap up God in a package. And one of the reasons I've never written a book on the work of the Holy Spirit is because so many people, and most of the books I read, I don't care for, because they explain things in a formula that they have learned, or that God has used them in a certain way. This is how to minister to people in depression. This is how to minister to generational bondage. Take a list. Their books have been written. So you take a list and you write out this and you write out this. And so then you learn how to pray according to, and it's not to say that God doesn't sometimes move in those ways. But you will never be able, and God doesn't want you to be able, to reduce the work of the Holy Spirit down to your formula or your brain's capacity to work it out. Because what you have is an anointing of the Spirit of God and a move of the Spirit of God. And sometimes it'll be because you've heard God, and if you hear God, if you really do hear God, then, and you obey, God's power will be released. But God's power is sometimes released when we don't hear very carefully, and sometimes released when we don't have great faith, because God is sovereign. You'll never be able to receive whatever you learn about the work of the Holy Spirit. I remember teaching years ago on a rhema word from God. And a rhema word is a spoken word. And normally, in order to have a word that is active and produces His power, you have to receive it within you so that the Holy Spirit makes it alive and makes it a rhema word, a living word, so that you know what God has spoken, that it's true before you speak it. Then when you know within that it's true, then you speak it, God's power is released. So a woman came and asked, said, well, does this mean then that I have to have a rhema word before God will move? And I said, no, I'm sorry if I gave the impression I can't reduce God down to a formula. It is true that God, when you have a rhema word, that God will move, you speak it. It is true. But no one is going to be reducing God down. He is sovereign. And He can move when He wants to move. The key to the gifting of the Holy Spirit, to moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that I see what God sees and hear what God hears, and I participate in what He is doing. I do not move Him to, cause Him to move. God's sleeping up there. Oh, Bob Neff had a word. Oh, I better do something. No. God is never asleep. And He sees all. And He always moves on time. But He has, through His own word and through His own desire, limited Himself. Now, no one else limited. Normally, He limits Himself to moving on the earth when we pray and believe. But that's not necessarily true. God is sovereign. So normally He's going to move when you hear Him. So effects, I mean, let's say I want a certain effect. A lot of people in the charismatic renewal, they want an effect every time you pray over someone, boom, they're knocked down on the floor. Well, you know what happens when you insist that this must happen when you pray, if they don't fall, you give them a little nudge. I've seen it. And God told me, don't do this. Now, as I told you when I was at the first meeting, when I was in China, I couldn't believe what was happening. Brother Herman, I mean, every time we had two different meetings, but especially those meetings, I mean, I'd get close to people and they would fall. And people would try to grab my hand so that I could touch them, so the power of God would be released. I was almost afraid. I thought, Lord, I mean, Lord, what's going on? I didn't tell them that. I mean, but I was thinking this. I mean, Lord, I've never seen this. I don't look for these kind of things. But it was happening. And when the people, I think because the people were so hungry for God, and so desirous of the Word of God, they were such a hunger, nothing like it in America that I've ever seen. I mean, it's just hanging on every word of the Scriptures. That's anticipating, expecting. And I think that's the key. But there are all kinds of effects. Don't expect a certain effect. We had the 1995 revival in Wilmore, and I was one of the leaders of it. And it caused a lot of consternation, and it caused a lot of opposition, and a lot of people said, this can't be God. Because we had the Methodist Church rented, and, I mean, strange things happened. There were people I used to go to that church. Went to that church for 18 years, never saw anything like that. I mean, people were laying all over the aisles, laying all over the altar in the front, laying in the choir loft, laying in the halls outside. I mean, God had knocked people down. I mean, God was delivering people. God was healing people. God was saving people. God was filling people with the Holy Spirit. And some people sat back and watched some of this, and strange noises were made, and so forth and so on. That can't be God. That can't be God. Watch out what you say. You better learn how to test and try the spirits to see if they're God. And you better, this is the most important thing, you better see If you say that someone will make some strange sound, and that can't be God. Listen, I've heard it said, and I've said it, that the Holy Spirit's always a gentleman, but listen. The Holy Spirit's not always a gentleman the way you think of a gentleman. Sometimes powerful! I mean, Peter Cartwright in the Second Great Awakening in Kentucky saw 1,000 people knocked down with the power of God at one stroke. Bam! That's not much of a gentleman. I don't mean now that the Holy Spirit creates chaos. Of course not. Of course not. But power, power under control. Controlled power. Pure power. Pure power. And so the effects of the Holy Spirit, don't ever try. Don't you ever be guilty of trying to say, when you see something or hear something, oh, that can't be God. Ask God and get something directly from God, and then you will know. Otherwise, you won't know. Now, often you can tell if some strange thing has happened, if that person is set free, and we saw this a number of times in that 1995 revival, strange things, strange noises, screams, other things happening. But time and time again, people were set free, and their lives were totally changed. And when people are set free, that's God. When people are healed, that's God. When people are filled with the Spirit, that's God. I mean, you have to, and you know the simple thing that I did when some manifestation was occurring that I didn't know, I say, well, what's happening to you? You know, it's all right to do that. If you're praying for someone or you see something happen, someone's screaming, sister, what's going on? I think I told you here just a few weeks ago that one sister was screaming, and I said, what's going on? And she said, I'm seeing hell. I mean, she described living color, she saw hell. And I don't know, but well, I would have made some noise too. Probably been seeing what she was seeing. And then we had to pray for her, and then she got calmed down. Now, let's get to the gifts. We'll spend the rest of our time on the gifts. We won't be able to finish on this, but we'll begin the teaching tonight on the gifts of the Spirit. The charismatic renewal gets its name from charisma, the Greek word, charisma, charisma, which means gift. And if I were to give you my pen, that would be a charisma, a gift. But if it's a pneumaticos, if it's a spiritual gift, that means a gift directly from the Father, Son, given by the Holy Spirit. So a spiritual gift is what we're talking about here. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. But here is what God has shown me. Turn to Romans 12, and I'll try to explain this. Because if you go through the Scriptures, you can go in Corinthians, you can go in Ephesians, you can go in Romans, you can go in Galatians, you can find lists of gifts. As I said to you before, I think I did this years ago. I think I counted 27 or 28, but I'm not positive of the number that were listed. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why do you separate out 9 in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and talk a lot about those and ask people to seek those? See, it's 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that the Scripture says, seek these gifts. And so, as I was reading Romans, this was a number of years ago, the Lord spoke to me directly. So let me read it, and let me then tell you what the Lord told me about this. You can pray about it. But, as I've said to you before, most of what I teach here It's from the study of the Scripture and what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And then I've acted on it, and God has demonstrated it. And so this is how, see, you can say, well, I got this from the Holy Spirit, and I know this is true. You can say, well, no, I got this from the Holy Spirit. This is true. If there's a disagreement, someone hasn't heard from the Holy Spirit. And the only way to know is to act on, and then God demonstrates, and if it happens, God has, see, this Jesus said, you know what, believe me for my work's sake. I mean, you'll do my works and greater works. I mean, if you begin to do the works of God, listen, if you're coming into contact with someone, and they don't want to believe you, just begin to understand that many people need to see the works of God demonstrated in your life. And when the works of God are demonstrated in your life, and it happens, God has made it true. God is the one that determines truth. God will demonstrate the truth through you if you will believe Him. And we've said many times, see, Abram was righteous, after Isaac was born and all the descendants. He was righteous when he believed God. The moment he believed God, the moment you believe God, it's accounted unto you as righteousness. The work of God for you is to believe God. It's not to work miracles. It's not to work healing. It's not to allow gifts to flow so power can flow. It's to obey God. Let him do. In fact, I'll show you in the gifts of the Spirit. All of chapter 12 has to do with what an outside agent, in this case God, is doing through you. And one of the greatest errors I've seen in Wilmore among Christians, one of the greatest errors is, what's your gift, brother? Well, you have this gift. You have this gift. You have this gift. Well, I'm going to show you in a minute. You only have certain ones, but you don't have any of the supernatural gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. They don't belong to you. They belong to Jesus. And when Jesus is in you or flowing in Jesus, the gifts can flow through you. But you don't have, I can't give you a word of prophecy when I want to. I can't give you a word of knowledge when I want to. It's when God comes and I respond to what God. See, the whole concept, at least in the supernatural realm of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, of this is your gift. Well, if you don't know what your gift, you've got one. Well, not a supernatural one. You don't have any supernatural gifts. Unless God, you have to seek them, and then by faith receive them, and then speak and act them. Now that's why we separate here. I want to read Romans 12, verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, and so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. I don't know whether you've ever noticed. Did you ever notice what the devil does with 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14? Christian after Christian after Christian. Well, I don't know about these supernatural gifts, tongues and interpretation of tongues especially, you know. These supernatural gifts, they divide people. Lie out of the pit of hell! Don't believe that lie! It's a lie. Because the Scripture itself, read the whole chapter. Over and over, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but over and over it talks about they are necessary to bring the body together into a unit so that the power of God can be released as we are unified, the gifts unified. It's our attitudes towards the gifts. It's our misuse of the gifts. It's our arrogant thinking that we have this gift. Look at this gift I have. No. We need to be reduced. We need to learn how to take the cross and come to the end of ourselves. Then God. See, if we, I'm speaking of myself, I'm speaking of all of us. if we would learn more about what it really meant to come to the end of ourselves and take the cross daily and follow after Him, we would see much more of the power of God released in our lives and much more supernatural gifting. But now, follow me here. Follow me here. Verse 6, Romans 12. Since we have gifts, charisma, that differ according to the grace given to us, comes from God. God's grace. He wants to give. Let each of us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Now, I want you to notice something when I read this rest of this list. The only gift in this list that it says according to the proportion of his faith is prophecy. And God spoke to me a number of years ago and said, Son, this is the difference between the gifts listed in other places and the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, at least the nine supernatural gifts. The Lord said these are supernatural gifts that only operate by faith. These gifts don't belong to you. They belong to Jesus and Jesus in you. And after He's baptized you in the Spirit, then you seek them. And I'll tell you more in another teaching next time about the function of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But you seek them in order that by faith you will receive and God's power is released, because I'm coming in a moment to give you some of the reasons why you need to seek the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit if you are going to minister as a disciple of Christ. And now, the rest of these, I call them natural gifting. Someone's 2 talented, someone's 5 talented, someone's 10 talented. That come to you as you are born. They are spiritual gifts because they're come from God. But they are not by faith. They are given when you are born. If service in his serving. And I don't see my wife, but if anyone ever had a natural gift of a servant, it's my wife. I mean, she's serving. It's embarrassing sometimes. I mean, she just practically wait on me if I let her. I mean, and she'll wait on the whole family, right? I mean, I point to my grandson here. But, I mean, it isn't by faith. It's given. It's been given. And how do you exercise it? In your serving. Or he who teaches. In your teaching. I was born with a gift of teaching. And surprise, surprise, I became a teacher. I didn't know what else to do. I liked history. Well, I'll study history. Well, what do I do with that? Well, I could teach. Well, I guess I'll try that. Tried high school teaching. Didn't like it. Went to graduate school. Went into college. Who? Loved it. Still love it. Still love teaching. Now, does faith enter into these gifts that are given to you? Yes. Because when I walked into the classroom now, and this has happened for years, I mean, you're supposed to walk by faith in everything you do. So the natural gifting you have is magnified as you learn how to exercise that natural gifting in faith. But you have those natural gifts. And exhorting in his exhorting. He who gives liberally in who is giving. In other words, there are natural gifts that you have that are magnified if you're willing to walk in faith, but they are not supernatural gifts. Supernatural gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to go through those, but before we go through those, in fact, we won't get all through them tonight, but before we go through those, why do you need supernatural spiritual gifts? Why do you need to operate in the 9 supernatural gifts? And let me, before I start this, let me say, it's been very clear in my own experience and what God has shown me, that although I will be defining word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, discerning of spirits, etc., that there are no final man-made definitions. Okay? I will be attempting to give a definition, but take a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. They're close. In the final analysis, even though I will attempt to give you some definition of a slight difference in a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, in the final analysis, it does not matter if you can name it, if you can name the gift you're moving in. It matters only that it is from God. Remember that. I used to worry about, I see now, is this a word of knowledge? Maybe it's a word of wisdom. Well, God doesn't want you to be. He doesn't want you to be concerned. In fact, when you look at the New Testament, I'm going to give you some examples in the New Testament. It's not clear in most cases in the New Testament. Once in a while, they name something. But in the New Testament, most of the time, they don't name a particular gift that's operating. Because it only matters that it is God, and you know that it's God, and you're testing and trying the spirits to see if it is from the Holy Spirit. And by the way, very seldom, when you get into actual ministry, when you get into, like this brother was talking about tonight, I mean, Brother Herman, he was moving in a number of the gifts of the Spirit. And when you pray over people, usually you're going to see 1, 2, 3, 4. I've had almost all, in some cases, almost all of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit move in one case. Certainly 3, 4, or 5 of them. Because they're closely interrelated, and of course they mesh together. Of course they are important as you move together in them. But again, it's not important to name them or to be too concerned about that. Now, why do you need them? Why do you need them? Well, you're commanded to be a disciple of God. And he commanded first his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they be filled with power from on high. They had the water baptism, and so they tarried, and then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit if you're going to freely move in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And you must know, you must not wonder, you must know that God has baptized you in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't fully carry out. You can't even, have you ever really looked carefully at the Sermon on the Mount? You can't even carry out the Sermon on the Mount without moving in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're to obey His commands. And you're to walk in love. Well, you can't walk in God. This is God's love. You can't walk in God's love except by faith receiving the love, the agape love of God that would come through you and flow through you to touch other people. The thing that changed my mind was Matthew 10, 7 and 8 on this. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. And when that came alive to me, I thought, whoa, Lord. Ooh, something's got to change in my life. Me? Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons? I hadn't done any of these things. And unless you begin to move in the power and the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit and seek them, you won't be able to carry that out. You can't fully obey God. This is not just a luxury. I don't mean you can't get into heaven. But I'm not even going to talk about, to try to have some intellectual debate about what it is that you have to do to get into heaven is beside the point. God doesn't want you to even be considering that. He gives all to you, all of his life to you. You give all of his life to him, and you want to be used fully if you. I mean, when I came to Christ, I wanted to press on. And when someone said, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I said, what's that? And when they told me about it, I said, oh, I want that. I don't understand people who say they have come to Christ and they don't want to press on. Because God wants you to press on. So don't be worried I believe God. I've received Christ. I will get into heaven. No. God wants you to understand. He wants you to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. How about that? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, he wants you to, well, in 1 John chapter 3. I won't read it. But it defines love. It defines the love of God, which comes down the cross, the vertical part of the cross. God just keeps loving us. And then we are to, and this is love, not that I love God, but that he loved me. So it is my human love. My human love can't help people in an eternal sense. And my human love won't last anyway. But if by faith I can receive his love, and then I let it flow out. And it says in that passage, in 1 John, in chapter 3, that you are to love in deed and in truth. So I say, well, what chapter is between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14? 13. Do you know the topic of that whole chapter? Perfect love. And so, do you think it's by accident that God put the love chapter 13 between 12 and 14? He put it there because the supernatural gifts, now the Corinthian church got out of... The Corinthian church got in love too much with just the gifting. They weren't enough in love with Jesus because they let an incest occur in the church and they didn't get rid of him. And Paul said, what are you guys doing? Get rid of this. By the way, most of the religious spirits operate in non-spirit-filled churches. The Corinthian spirit operates in spirit-filled churches. I've defined that before in that series. But the Corinthian spirit operates in spirit-filled churches. Because these people were spirit-filled. But the Corinthian spirit, remember how we said they bring compromise inside the church and corruption and especially sexual immorality? And that's exactly what was inside that Corinthian church. So, God wants you to look at Luke 9, verse 1. Luke 9, verse 1. I'm giving you reasons why you need to operate you need to be baptized in the Spirit and operate in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to. You ought to want to. You ought to want to. Luke 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority. This is dunamis. That's the power of God. Authority, exousia. Delegated power. All authority was given to Jesus. He's our head, now at the right hand of the Father. We're down on the earth, and so the authority that Jesus was given is now on the church, and we have that authority. Over all demons and to heal diseases. Now, demon power is going to lurk in the background, sometimes directly. I mean, this brother was talking about how many examples. Most of the examples he gave were talking about confronting direct demon power. And if it isn't direct, it's going to be indirect. And you've got to have the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you, people, you cannot get involved in this unless you're moving in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot deal with Satan. His power is nothing compared to the power of God that is released through the gifts of the Spirit. But it is certainly something coming against you if you are not moving in the gifts of the Spirit, if you are not moving in His power, He'll defeat you every time. If it's you and your humanness and your human ability, He'll defeat you every time. and you'll be afraid. I was talking to a friend of mine. Most of you know Dale Dragomir, who has moved here. And his wife is sister to my son-in-law, Tim Johnson. And Dale's teaching. He's been teaching for several months, substituting, but long-term substituting. And I said, how are you getting along with the students? Oh, pretty good. And several of the students we went by were out at West Jesmond High School the other night, Thursday. And the kids seemed to like him. And he said, you really need to have a leading of the Lord to teach. And he said something, he said, you know, a lot of people, a lot of teachers are afraid of the kids. You know that what's happening. I mean, you know, discipline is breaking down. And all kinds of violence erupting. And I thought, hey, you know, he's got something there. Now, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We need people, we need teachers who are baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, when some of these manifestations occur in the classroom, we need to take authority in Jesus' name. I mean, demonic things are occurring in American schools. Demonic things are occurring in American schools. More and more and more. And you want to tell me that we don't need the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God? Need to begin to pray. Teachers need to begin to pray for their students. Because I tell you, if we don't start taking control in Jesus' name, we're going to have total chaos in this country. Total chaos. And it'll only be through the supernatural. God just spoke to me. And he said, tell them, son, tell them that you people, whether you teach or not, you need to begin to take authority in Jesus' name over the demon manifestations that are occurring in America. And the Nigerian evangelist, Mose Bendugia, told me he's been around in 60-some countries, and he grew up in Nigeria, in a tribal area, and a curse was put on him when he was a baby, and his father was a pastor, and he was filled with the Spirit, and he broke that curse, or he would have died, because the witch doctor put a curse on him, and he would have died. And he knew how to break, and he said, I come to America, and he said, there are demons all over, and you people don't even understand that you're dealing with demons. And he wasn't trying to be on... insulting it to Americans. I mean, he was saying it nicely, but I mean, we don't understand. Do you think that what's happening has a natural explanation? That's what we want to think. Well, we just need this new program. We just need to adopt this new educational reform system. No. No. Power and authority over all demons to heal diseases. You've got, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Brother, you mentioned the Isle of Timor. Did you read the book by Mel Torre on the Indonesian revival, Like a Mighty Wind, about 1965 or something like that? You know what they did after the Holy Spirit fell on that church and the fire was above the church? They called the fire department out and it wasn't a fire, but there was a fire. They saw fire up there, but it wasn't on fire. And people were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God in that church, that Presbyterian church, where he said no one ever prayed except one person before. But I mean, the Holy Spirit fell and everyone was praying in the Spirit. He said some grandmother from the hills who was illiterate was praying in the Spirit and praying in perfect English, praising God, didn't even know English, never studied English, but the power of God had fallen on her. And so they said, well, how could we witness to the Muslims? You may remember this in the book. And they said, well, God will heal. Don't have to be Christians to pray for the sick. So they just went in teams and knocked on doors and asked if someone was sick. Can we pray for them? Yes. Bang. They're healed. Oh, Jesus is real. Now they come to Jesus. And this is the kingdom gospel is going to be preached. You got to get with it. See, we are not with it in Wilmore. I mean, God has had me here. I complained about it in early years. And then the Lord said, no, I called you here. I want you here. And he did. And he did call me, and he did want me here. And I'm still here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Luke 10, verse 1. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. Some people say it was just for the 12. Oh, 70 others. Hmm. You suppose it might be for us? God told me that years ago. And you know, when the Lord tells you, and you, if the Lord tells me something, I've got to obey it. I've got to follow it. I mean, how can you do anything else? And of course, you're going to get opposition. You're going to get opposition. Of course you are. You shouldn't expect anything else. And he sent them out two by two. That's a good idea. Don't pray alone unless you have to. Pray with someone else. And, of course, now in our home, Marilyn and I can pray together. But two is a good idea, if possible. Sometimes you have to pray alone. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. In other words, there's a harvest of souls, but the gospel that's going to be preached will release the power of God through the gifting of God and through the supernatural gifts, because it says in verse 9, and heal those who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. Whatever city you enter and do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city clings to we wipe our protest against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is coming near. So if someone won't receive it, wipe your feet and walk to someone who will receive it, because there are plenty of people who want to receive it. That's what I saw in China. I mean, they were begging for the Word of God. I mean, I taught 2 hours. I probably could have taught 3 hours at a time. They wanted the Word. They wanted the Word. There was a hunger, hunger, hunger for the Word of God. And I taught them on generational bondage, and they'd never heard it. And then before we were through, we prayed for every single person there for generational bondage. And God broke off every day. Broke off generational bondage. Bang, bang, bang. Demon idols in every family broke off. Demon idols and bondage in their lives. It's all over the world. And God needs people. He needs you to go to break off bondage. But you won't without the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. Then verse 18. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing indeed shall injure you. You think you're going to carry that out unless you're moving in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, yes, he's given you authority, but you won't operate in authority. You won't operate in authority till you lose all fear, until you come into the baptism of the Spirit, and then you seek the gifts, and then God begins to move. And then God begins to move, and you say, oh, it's real. Who? It's real. Who? It's real. I mean, he can even move through me. You know, that's what I still say. I still say, he can even move through me. And he can move through you. And it begins to give you, it begins to embolden you. Because you're trusting Christ. Then 1 Corinthians 14:12. So also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. So the next reason is you need to seek to abound in the supernatural gifts to edify the church, to build up the church. Now listen, what's going to happen? This is going to happen. It's happening right now. In fact, it's well along the way right now. At least a year ago, it might have been 2 years ago, I can't remember how long ago it was, the Lord spoke to me a very direct word to say that most of the people in the organized church are already apostate, have already fallen away. The majority of people in the organized church are already apostate. And so, you need to begin to move in the supernatural gifts to build up the true church, because God is going to allow the people who will not be built up in the Holy Spirit, moving in the Holy Spirit, he's going to allow them to fall away. He will not have people continually inside the body of Christ fighting what the Holy Spirit is doing. He will not continue to allow it. And the Lord just spoke to me and said what I just said. The Lord said, this is true. I will not continue to allow people inside what they call the church to come against the work of my Holy Spirit. I mean, people in this town, many feel free to just decide this is God, this is not God, this can't be of the Holy Spirit. And they blaspheme God, and they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and there will be an eternal punishment unless they repent. I've never spoken quite this plainly on this, but I mean, God is speaking to me. As I speak, He's speaking to me. I mean, he had Ananias and Sapphira. And the Lord said that about that story some maybe a year or so ago, I've forgotten how long ago it was. He said, these kind of things are going to be occurring again. They lied to the Holy Spirit and fell dead. God is going to clean up His body. And we need to get prepared to be used the way God wants to use us. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just trying to tell you what the Lord is saying. I mean, I don't have as a teacher any other job other than to speak what the Holy Spirit speaks and what the Word says. That's all I have to do. And so, God wants to build up the church, to edify the church. Now, once more, and I see by the watch, I see that I'm really going to have to close with what I thought was going to be my introduction. because if I start to get into the individual gifts, we will do that next time. We will get into the individual gifts of the Holy Spirit, starting with the Word of Wisdom next time. But let me say this before we're through tonight, that you have to understand something. And how many of you have heard of John Wimber? He died, I guess, maybe 3 years ago. Some of you have heard of John Wimber. Okay. Well, I heard him give his testimony in 1985 or 86. He was saved late in life. He was in his late 50s. It was the most dramatic testimony in some ways that I've ever heard. He was a member of a band in Las Vegas, and he had never been in a church. He'd never been in a church. He didn't know what a Bible was. It's hard to imagine an American, you know, lived in California, played in Las Vegas, and, you know, different life. Different life. And one of his friends got in trouble, and his wife was going to leave him. And so John said to his friend, I think someone told me God had a book. Maybe it would be good if you could find a book. If God wrote a book, maybe you could get that. So they went down and they asked someone, I guess it was a drugstore, I've forgotten the store, but anyway, if God had a book. And the clerk said, well, you mean a Bible? And they said, well, was that God's book? And she said, yes. And said, well, yeah, that's what we want. So they bought a paperback, a modern translation Bible. And someone else in the band saw it, and they were reading it, said, what you got? We got a Bible, that's God's book. And this other guy looked at it and said, that's not a Bible, it's not black and leather. I mean, Bible's not paper, and This can't be a Bible. So John said they later, after work, at about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, they got off work, And he waited before a Christian bookstore until it opened. And then they went in and bought a Bible. And this guy read it, but John got a Bible and he read it. Now, he's never been in a church and he's never had anyone witness to him, but he begins reading the New Testament. And so what he says is that as he read the New Testament, he realized that he needed to receive Christ. And so he repented of his sins and received Christ and was born again. It wasn't too much later that he saw that there was something else than the fullness of the Spirit. And so he prayed and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I ran into a woman in Italy like this. She got a Bible. She read it. She was saved. She read it. She said, "Lord, there must be something more. Give me the something more." And the Lord fell on her, and she began to speak in tongues. But anyway, John. After he's saved and filled with the Spirit, he hasn't been in a church, and so one of his friends finds out he's been saved, and so asks him to go to a Baptist church with him. First time he's ever gone to a church. So he goes to the church service, and of course he's a magician, so he's criticizing the musicians and the choir. And he's talking to his wife, and he kept saying to his wife, "Well, when are they going to do it? When are they going to do it? When are they going to do it?" And she says, "John, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, when are they going to heal the sick? When are they going to cast out demons? When are they going to..." He'd never been in a church service, but he read the New Testament. He read the New Testament. Now, he wrote a book. It's still the best, I think, that I've read the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here's where I close tonight. He calls the gifts of the Holy Spirit the dancing hand of God. The dancing hand of God. And he says, if you look at the Greek text, in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are not ours. They are Jesus. They belong to Jesus. But he says that Greek text and tense is in the passive, and it indicates that the work of God, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, are really in the possession of something outside of us. And it's continuous. It's continuous. The Greek means like stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. It means stir it up continually, continually, continually. And so, once we're baptized in the Spirit, we need to pray. Not just to seek the gifts of the Spirit that we'll look at next time, the individual ones, but we need to seek an anointing of God so that the dancing hand of God, so that the voice of God, so that the what God sees and what God hears, we let the Holy Spirit stir up continually, 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 understanding that we are not the actors, we are the receivers. We are the receivers of what God is speaking. You say you don't hear God? He's speaking. He's speaking. You need to learn to pray. You need to be filled with the Spirit. But you need to seek the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the truth, is the teacher. He wants to anoint you. And even whether you can identify, this is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and whatever, we'll identify these next time. But he needs to guide you. Now when I pray with people, and this happened over the years just in a gradual way. When we first started this meeting, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to listen. I didn't know how to wait. I didn't know how to pray. You got to learn how to pray. Maybe sometime in another teaching we can teach on prayer. We learn how to pray. We need to learn to seek God, to enjoy God, to come into His presence so that the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit of God is moving
And then God speaks. It's like tonight. God spoke a couple of times. And then we are to, speak that. We are to release that. And yes, he does want to use you. He does want to use you. Mm-hmm. He wants you to move in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. Praise God. We'll continue on the individual gifts next time.